From Pacifica Radio, this is Democracy Now! In an extraordinary decision, the World Bank and IMF announced they will...
No, that was Amy Goodman, and this is supposed to be Democracy Now! But there will be no Democracy Now! Today because there's a controversy, there's a conflict. The Pacifica National and the manager at WBAI apparently are doing everything in their power to undermine the sanctity and the ability for the Democracy Now! Team to broadcast. So this is Dennis Bernstein. I'm here with Noel Hanrahan. And for the next hour, we're going to present to you the issue, the conflict, what's happening, how Democracy Now! Is the latest Pacifica program and Pacifica creation to be undermined by this board of corporate raiders, by this renegade executive director, and by this apparently out-of-control manager at WBAI in New York. Earlier this morning, I had a chance to catch up with Amy Goodman. I managed to do an interview with her on this home tape recorder that I have. I just alert the engineer, Lisa Rothman, that this is in right channel only, and it's running a little bit low, so we might have to pump it up. But here is Amy Goodman talking about the struggle to produce Democracy Now!
Amy Goodman, it's just before 9 o'clock. People usually at this time hear a new edition of Democracy Now! You were not able to produce that new edition. Why is that? Why will they not hear a new program today?
Well, they forbid us to go on the air as they figure out a way, until they can figure out a way to guarantee us a safe working environment. And that's the situation right now. We are, to say the least, extremely harassed and being physically intimidated at WBAI. It is a very serious problem. And unfortunately, at this point, I feel that we clearly are being punished for it when we are the ones being attacked. I was handed a letter of insubordination yesterday from Steve Yasko, citing me for insubordination because we didn't come to the studio yesterday. We broadcast from a safe alternative facility, a video broadcast facility in downtown Manhattan. You know, as people could hear, that was a full-scale studio that we were finally able not to be put in a substandard studio and to be in a safe place. And we are asking to be in a safe place. Instead, I'm cited for insubordination.
Now, on KPFA, people heard that program. Was that program broadcast around the network to the other stations and to the affiliates?
They blocked the broadcast. They refused to carry it. They refused to allow us to do a broadcast today. They are replaying reruns.
When they cite you for insubordination, how do they characterize that? How do they say you're being insubordinate?
They say we refused to report to work, but we did report to work, as you could hear. The work wasn't the unsafe place, that is 120 Wall Street. The company, as the union puts it after the company, Pacifica is responsible to maintain a safe workplace, and they have not been able to guarantee that. We have repeatedly written memos to management about extremely unsafe conditions, about being physically intimidated, harassed, and they do not respond. And the latest incidents of Friday, when Eutrice Lee, the interim station manager, physically accosted me, and Monday, when we were in our office preparing for Democracy Now!, and two of the newly installed WBAI staff, one person and the operations director, used the super key to enter our office to continue to harass us.
Now, you say a super key.
I think it's here. Yeah. I have to go, Dennis, actually.
All right, finally. Is there a precedent for broadcasting outside of the station and then...
There are many precedents. Gary Knoll does it every day, broadcast from his facility. Bob Henley has an ISDN in his home. The PNN correspondent and our station, another show that goes across the week, does it from another facility. We need to be able to be guaranteed a safe working environment, and also one that is not substandard, as we've been thrown into repeatedly into an editing booth. These are the things that we have to be guaranteed, and they have not been able to guarantee them at this point. And for us to be cited, for me to be cited, and apparently letters are going to the staff, for insubordination is a complete outrage.
Is
it their failing? It is not ours.
Finally, is there any hope that the listeners of KPFA and around the country will be able to hear Democracy Now in the near future? What does that look like?
Well, Democracy Now! Is part of listener-supported radio, and it is a tradition that we all have to protect, started more than 50 years ago. And that's the way we continue, is with all. Management has put us in an extremely difficult situation, one that is completely untenable. To have management physically intimidating us, accosting us, is unacceptable. I'm not going to put the staff in that position or myself.
Does that include national management? Or is this just happening locally at WBAI?
I don't know what's happening nationally. I know what's happening to us in our workplace, both in terms of our physical safety and in terms of the technical quality of the technical conditions in which we do the broadcast. When we were thrown into Studio 3, the editing booth last week, for absolutely no reason, national management was there, the national programming director, Steve Yasko, as well as the general manager of the station. As we were put in minutes before the broadcast went on the air, without a clock, with substandard studios, the interim station manager was shouting, laughing, watch them run, watch them run.
All right. Well, we're going to be doing a lot more on this hour to enlighten people in terms of what's going on and what they can do about it. Amy Goodman, we wish you the best of luck, and we will be right with you on this.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right. Take care.
And that was the voice of Amy Goodman in a recorded interview on my little cassette recorder at home. Democracy Now! Is apparently in some kind of negotiations with National or whoever it is that they can talk to try and create a safe atmosphere. You are not hearing Democracy Now! Because it was not produced today. They did not go to their studio yesterday. The program was produced, as you heard, outside of the studios of WBAI because they did not feel they had a safe and workable environment. That show was broadcast here at KPFA, but not to the affiliates. We're going to be talking the rest of this hour about the situation and perhaps how you can help as listeners to respond, to fight back, and to free, to liberate this this network from this crew of corporate raiders and this renegade executive director. Joining us now, either by ISDN line or on the telephone, is Juan Gonzalez. He is the former co-host of Democracy Now! He resigned because of issues such as this. Also with us is Dan Coughlin, the former national news director, I believe that was his title. Bernard White, the fired program director from WBAI in New York. I believe Errol Maitland, who works closely as technical director, other support systems on Democracy Now!, and we will be speaking with other people as well. Juan Gonzalez, I want to begin with you. Welcome to this special to talk about Democracy Now!
Well, thank you, Dan. It's my pleasure.
All right, Juan, we hear a lot about what's going on at WBAI and what appears to be very brutal tactics on the part of Utrice Lead and sort of the staff who she has hired and inspired there. But this is really a chain of command situation. It starts at the top with the board, with the executive director. Could you talk a little bit, give us your analysis of what's happening here and why?
Well, you know, this has been building for quite a while now, I think, and the amazing thing, and I think one of the things that Amy, as I understand it, has raised to the management is not only the constant harassment of the show, but also the on-air attacks, the personal attacks that various people at BAI have made on the air, including the interim station manager, directly against Amy. I mean, I think it's unheard of that you have managers and others personally attacking on the air by name one of the hosts of the most popular show of the network, and this has been going on for months, and it clearly is being supported by Bessie Wash. And you know, the situation at Pacifica now at the national level is in such chaos that it's not really even clear who is calling the shots. I mean, it very well may be that since the resignation of Chairman David Acosta and practically the entire executive committee of Pacifica, that Bessie Wash, the executive director, has engineered a coup within a coup, you know, of hardliners against those who weren't hard enough within the Pacifica board from her perspective, and that in essence that when they fired Epstein, Becker, and Green and brought in an even more high-powered corporate law firm in Williams and Connolly, that was the signal of the coup within the coup, and that that Bessie Wash, supported by her station managers at all the stations except yours, and I have to really applaud KPFA for putting Democracy Now! On the air yesterday, and in essence, unmasking the lie of Bessie Wash that Amy didn't report to work yesterday. If she didn't report to work yesterday, how did KPFA get a broadcast of Democracy Now? So that I think that that Bessie Wash is emerging as a much more active player, even though she's not a member of the board, in the current extremism that has gripped the managers and policymakers at Pacifica.
Now, Juan Gonzalez, I called Bessie Wash's office 2 days ago when this latest situation started to unfold, and I asked to speak with Ms. Wash. I spoke with somebody who said she was Bessie Wash's assistant. She asked if I was a journalist. I said, I'm a journalist. I work at KPFA, and I have been a contributor to many Pacifica programs and national broadcasts. She said, so you're a journalist. There's a PR firm. I think he said the name was their PR flack now is Mr. Powell. Is this PR firm part of this cabal to suppress, undermine, and lie about what's really going on?
Well, it's interesting. West Hill Partners, which is a new PR firm, you're talking now about major league damage control firms. West Hill Partners was headed for many years by a guy by the name of John Scanlon, who died this year. And I happen to know Scanlon very well because when we were on strike at the New York Daily News in 1990-91, Scanlon was a representative of the Tribune Company whose job it was to portray our unions and our strike as a violent, crazed affair. He was the damage control guy for the Tribune Company. He's also the guy who was the PR guy for Brown and Williamson when they were trying to paint the whistleblower Wigand, I think, the guy who appeared on 60 Minutes, and Scanlon was the guy who went all around the country spreading slanderous attacks on the whistleblower. Scanlon's firm is so notorious in journalistic circles as the hired gun of, I mean, basically, if West Hill Partners represents you, it's like the typical representative of a mob lawyer. People instantly know you're guilty. And I happen to know some people at West Hill Partners, actually, who are former journalists. And so Pacifica has hired one of the top corporate image control firms in the country now in West Hill Partners, as well as a major league corporate law firm in Williams and Connolly. And Pacifica, the managers of Pacifica don't travel in those circles. This is totally unheard of for such a small nonprofit foundation to hire such major league lawyers and PR firms. And so it is clear that somebody in this country is really worried about this democracy movement at Pacifica and the impact or the ripple effect that it might have across the country, because the bringing in of these high-powered firms means that a powerful people are concerned about this movement.
You're listening to KPFA. This is not Democracy Now. That's the show that you would be used to hearing at this time. Democracy Now! Was not produced today. The staff of Democracy Now! Has said that they no longer have a safe environment to produce within the walls of WBAI in terms of the extreme surveillance. They are talking about, they are claiming physical and verbal intimidation, various kinds of attacks against the staff. They produced the show outside the station yesterday. That show was carried here, but not to the affiliates. It was denied by Pacifica, not carried to the affiliates. We decided that KPFA needs to support our brothers and sisters in New York and Democracy Now!, as we know that this is enlightened self-interest. If they came for us yesterday, now they're coming for Democracy Now!. They'll be back to get us tomorrow. We are all in this together. That was the voice of Juan Gonzalez. Later on, you'll be speaking with, we'll be hearing from Bernard White, Dan Coughlin, and others, Errol Maitland and others who are very concerned, who are associated with Pacifica and Democracy Now! I'm Dennis Bernstein. I'm here in the studio with Noel Hanrahan of Flashpoints.
Juan Gonzalez, tell us why you originally resigned from Democracy Now! In January and what you think the specific strategic motivation and also the political motivation for them attacking Amy Goodman at this point is.
Well, I mean, I originally resigned because I clearly saw within a couple of weeks of the December coup in WBAI, when Yatrice Lee basically unmasked herself and went on the air and instituted the ban or gag rule at WBAI, because for the first 2 weeks after the firings and the Christmas coup, there was quite a bit of debate among listeners and staff on the air about what was happening. Suddenly one day Yatrice got on the air and said, this is it. I'm putting down the edict. There will be no more discussions of any of this. It will not be tolerated. I'm paraphrasing here, but it's a pretty close paraphrase. And anybody who dares to talk about this on the air will be subject to immediate dismissal. It wasn't just what she said. It was the tone in which she said it and her manner. And I said, this is the imposition of a dictatorial rule. And even though I had not made any comments, because obviously in Democracy Now! We were basically, we only did, I think, in the last year, maybe a couple of shows on the whole Pacifica controversy. I still felt that kind of an edict was the prelude to a much more of a dictatorship at the station, and I didn't want to be a part of it, and I felt it was time to act. And so I, resigned on the air and started working with the Pacifica campaign to unseat the board. Since then, we've seen a continued consolidation of that dictatorship, more and more people being fired and banned. I think the number's up to now, 23 at WBAI. And Yatrice Lee has continued to consolidate her power. And as I mentioned before, I think what's happened, given the fact that three out of the four officers of the Pacifica Foundation have resigned, Michael Palmer was the treasurer, Andrea Sisco was the secretary, David Acosta was the chairman. There's only one officer left, and that's Ken Ford, the vice chair. So in essence, the Pacifica board is now, while there's still a bare majority supporting this corporate takeover, on a day-to-day basis, there's no one in charge except Bessie Wash, and she has she's basically with her station managers, Mark Shubb in Los Angeles and Garland Ganter in Houston, and the Washington station manager and Yatrice Lead. They are now trying to basically clean house before there can be any changes at the board level. And I think what they're doing is they are, that's why they decided to start turning the screws even tighter on Democracy Now, because I think at the board level there's still debate over what to do with the continued opposition of Amy to the policies of the board, and how much they're willing to take in heat by trying to openly fire her. So Yatrice and Bessie are attempting to squeeze Amy as much as possible, make life impossible for her. and drive her out. And I think this is what was the cause of this latest incident that began last week.
And that was the voice of Juan Gonzalez. This is Noelle Hanrahan with Dennis Bernstein. This is a special on Democracy Now! We'd like to bring in now Dan Coughlin. Dan is the fired news director at Pacifica National News, also a member with Juan Gonzalez of the Pacifica campaign trying to root out the illegitimate national board, which is raining havoc on all of us. Dan Coughlin, are you there?
Hi, Noelle. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. What I'd like you to tell our listenership is, how did this unfold? You were a producer for Democracy Now! You've seen the level of harassment over the number of years that it's been going on, and now it's coming to this really pressure cooker stage. But tell us, what have you seen over the last year or so? How has this unfolded, the kind of pressure they brought to bear on Amy and Democracy Now!
Well, first of all, I think it's important to understand that in many ways, the crisis around Democracy Now! Mirrors the crisis of the Pacifica Radio Network in terms of programming. So what Democracy Now! Represents, I think, for many listeners across the country is reporting in the Pacifica tradition that is intellectually stimulating, socially engaged, politically informative, and it is a program that is at the tip of the arrow of time, just like Pacifica has been for 50 years. And if we contrast that to what the present Pacifica regime envisages, it's a station like KPFT, which is essentially a music station, a jukebox with a top 40 playlist that is determined by record companies in pursuit of profit. So we see clearly the contrast in terms of programming about what this whole Pacifica struggle is all about. It's crystallized right now in the Democracy Now! Debate. Having said that, I think what we can do is to put a little context into what, in fact, has happened to Democracy Now! Over the last year. Because the crisis at Democracy Now! Really started concretely last summer during the Republican and Democratic conventions. And if you remember, it started when Amy and the Democracy Now! Producers were disciplined for having interviewed Ralph Nader, an open political act against the Democracy Now! Production team in a very hotly contested election atmosphere. And we can look subsequently at some of the other attempts to discipline Democracy Now! And when they occurred and why. The next time was over Amy's interview with Lori Berenson. That wasn't specifically the issue, but the next discipline came down at the time of her world-exclusive interview with Lori Berenson, the jailed American in Peru.
Now, I think that our audience will be shocked that Amy is subject to this kind of harassment. I remember Amy a couple years ago telling me that they came to her, Pacifica management, and asked her if she could get someone that was pro-NAFTA, that they actually harass her on a daily, weekly basis with some of these outrageous suggestions.
Well, this has been going on for a long time, and I think, Noelle, you've experienced a lot of this in terms of trying to get the voices of prisoners on death row on the air, where that has always been a big battle at a senior level within Pacifica, specifically around Mumia Abu-Jamal. But that is a constant. But what we see happening with Democracy Now! Is the big crackdowns are happening often at times when the show is most successful, when it's breaking the biggest stories, when Amy did the interview with President Clinton, when Amy did the interview with Lori Berenson, when Amy did the interview with Ralph Nader. It's at these crucial times that the repression has hit the show. And again, this is what the whole Pacifica struggle is about. Do we have a top 40 playlist jukebox radio station whose music is determined by the record companies, or are we interested in, you know, an intellectually stimulating, socially engaged, politically informative programming that really seeks to understand and change the world that we live in?
Dan, if I can break in for 1 second.
Juan Gonzalez.
Yeah, to add something in terms of the context that Dan is talking about, the economic context of what's happening. For instance, just a couple of weeks ago, there was an announcement in New York that ESPN had reached an agreement with WEVD, an AM talk station, which, and by the way, the call letters for WEVD are Eugene V. Debs. because the station was started by socialists in the 30s, and they made an agreement for ESPN to turn it into a sports talk station, with ESPN having an option for $78 million to buy the station in 2 years, but to run it immediately. Now, $78 million for an AM station, right, an AM station, when WBAI is an FM station, and even the market analyst said that the station was worth more, the AM station. That would indicate that the value of a station like WBAI is a lot higher than many of us had been estimating. At the same time, yesterday's Wall Street Journal, very interesting article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal about a religious broadcasting network that is beginning to buy up NPR stations, and that NPR is now being faced with a religious right movement beginning to move in on its public radio stations, and it's fighting a holding action. You're seeing the increasing restriction and contraction of community and public radio in this country by either market forces or conservative forces.
Well, let me jump in here for a moment, Juan Gonzalez. Dennis Bernstein here with Noel Hanrahan. It's important that you bring this up because I probably don't have to remind some listeners that what got me arrested and first attacked by Garland Gantner with 3 to 6 armed private security force members is when I went on the air to break the story that we had obtained the email from the former board member, the international real estate entrepreneur Michael Palmer, talking in very serious, specific terms about selling KPFA and or WBAI. Now, when I went on the air, after I got off the air, that's when they came after us. That's when they shut us down, dragged us out, hammered up boards on the station here, put chains, locks and chains on the doors, and tried to program in some kind of canned music and programming from another location because they had every intention of selling these stations. And one of the things, and I direct people back to that memo, which is on savepacifica.net, and it's all over the place. People should go and read that email, because what he said was, we can sell KPFA, but we might have a better shot at WBAI because the institution itself is not as much part of the community. It doesn't have as much support throughout the entire city. New York's a bigger city. You can steal it more easily. And it appears that they have now come back to WBAI.
There's no doubt that there's a confluence here. See, in our movement, sometimes we spend a lot of time debating, well, is it really a political hit that's going on against Pacifica, or is it an economic hit? I think it's a confluence of the interests of both, both the interests of those who want to make a buck, as well as the interests of those who want to silence the radical and progressive news and information and debate that occurs on Pacifica. And we have to understand that there's a meeting of the minds of both the greedy and the repressive in terms of being able to find a way to rein in Pacifica, the very people who claim that Pacifica is becoming more and more irrelevant are, I think, the people who understand precisely how important and how relevant the Pacifica network is to the social and political movements in American society.
Well, Juan Gonzalez, we want to thank you. We know that you're on deadline as well. We want to thank you very much for joining us. We agree with you that this sort of appears to be a mop-up operation. The corporations own just about every other electronic media, and they're coming to get us. And obviously, it's not going to be an easy row. We're going to fight back. We thank you, Juan, for joining us, and we'll be talking to you in the near future about the Pacifica campaign.
Very good. Thanks.
And if you're just tuning in and you're wondering what happened to Democracy Now!, what happened to Democracy Now! Is that it wasn't produced today. That the staff there feels that they are facing such great intimidation that they could no longer produce the program inside the walls of WBAI. They say, as we spoke to Amy Goodman earlier on in this broadcast, that they're trying to negotiate a way of creating some kind of safe atmosphere to allow that broadcast to continue. I'm Dennis Bernstein with Noel Hanrahan, and we decided it was very important that we bring you, the KPFA audience, the truth about what's going on instead of playing some rebroadcast that they're trying to jam out over the rest of the network. We do thank Jim Bennett at the board, earlier Lisa Rothman for their great help, Denise Wilkerson as well. We're going to now bring into the discussion the former program director of WBAI, Bernard White, and I believe Errol Maitland is on the ISDN line, a technical producer and a contributor to Democracy Now. Welcome the both of you to this special about Democracy Now.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Noah.
Okay.
Thank you, Dennis.
It's
this is Errol.
Good to have you both with us. Errol Maitland, give us a sense. You know, you've worked inside day-to-day on Democracy Now. What has it been like? You've been speaking with your co-producers there. What has it been like for them to try and produce this broadcast?
Well, Dennis, since the coup, my doctors, you know, I had an encounter at the New York City Police Department that had me out of work for several months. And as part of my recuperation, my doctors had allowed me to go back to work, even though they felt that I may have an imminent heart attack at any moment if I'd exert myself too much. So when the coup happens at WBAI, my doctors rescinded my back-to-work orders. And since that time, I have been physically out of the station because of the stress level, but I've gotten constant reports as to the condition under which Amy Goodman and the entire Democracy Now! Crew has functioned under. I must tell you, it has been a long-standing grudge between Utrecht Lead and, for some reason, Amy Goodman. I don't know what it is, if it's jealousy or whatever, but she does not like Amy Goodman. As a matter of fact, she doesn't seem to like much of anyone. And she has unleashed a scorched-earth policy against the staff of WBAI. I've been to a few staff meetings with her where she rant and rave and demand respect while she shows no respect to other people. I have been present when her goons, Clayton Riley and others, physically threatens other staff member with violence. As a shop steward, we brought this to the attention of Pacifica and their attorney, and they promised to do something about it. The union is UE Local 404, have talked about how serious it is about workplace violence.
That is the voice of Errol Maitland, who works with Democracy Now! I'd like to bring into the conversation Bernard White. Bernard, can you tell us exactly what has gone on the last 4 days in relationship to the studio access and the physical confrontations that Amy Goodman and her production staff has faced?
Well, I think it was last Thursday that Utrecht Lead told Democracy Now! Staff, just a couple of a minute or so before they were about to go on, they could not use master control. Ironically, we redid master control and did a special fundraiser to upgrade our facility so that we could become a part of doing national programming. And Democracy Now! Was sent to an editing studio, a studio that we just use primarily for editing, that doesn't have the facilities necessary to do a high-quality broadcast. So as they were leaving to rush down to the other studio, from what I understand, Utrecht Lead and the new morning crew were laughing at them as they were scurrying about trying to hurry up and get there and set up and do mic checks and everything and find out what was working and what wasn't working before they could do the broadcast. Later on that on Friday, the next day, Amy Goodman, much to her credit, saw two of the staff members, Marjorie Moore and Jabel Fine, going through the remainder of my possessions. Utrecht had told everyone that she sent all of my things to me, but that's not the case. I have several things that were missing. It was just before the Christmas holiday. I even had Christmas gifts that I had bought while I was keeping at the station that I was going to bring in bring home on that Saturday after we did our teach-in, and those are missing also. And Amy confronted them and said, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. This is not right. This is Bernard's material. You should give it back to him. At which time Marjorie Moore said that, you know, Bernard has had ample time to come in and get the material, but I haven't, because if I came to the station and entered the premises, I would be arrested. So Amy went back down to her office and got her camera, came in and took some pictures of them going through my things. When she turned around, Eutrice Lee was there and snatched the camera out of her hand. So Amy told her that she, you know, she wanted her to give her back her camera. And Eutrice said that she was going to develop the film and give her back the camera later. Then she went into another office. Amy followed her, at which time Eutrice turned around, from what I understand from witnesses, and pushed Amy. Then Amy continued to ask for the camera. Eutrice went back down to her own office. Amy followed her and kept saying that, you know, it's not right what you're doing. You should return his material. It is his possession. You shouldn't be going through them. And Eutrice tried to slam her foot in the door. So Amy removed her foot from the door. Eutrice went over to her desk, and, you know, it's a glass door in front of Eutrice's office, and she wound up taking two pictures of Amy while she was standing at the door asking for her material back, for her camera back. Of course, this was picked up by the staff on Saturday and Sunday, which are days that the Democracy Now! Crew usually comes in and to prepare for Monday, and also to, you know, make whatever calls they can to schedule guests for the week, just to make sure that everything is tight, so when they come in Monday, they just would do the program. Well, they weren't allowed to come in this weekend. There was a message left down with the security at the front desk saying that they would not be allowed to come in until Monday morning, just an hour or so before their program was to go on the air. And when they came in on Monday, they were confronted by two staff members who were screaming at them about how they put their lives in jeopardy, how they had gotten death threats, how people had been calling up the radio station threatening them. So, you know, the clock is ticking. They got to get in there and produce this program because they didn't have the opportunity to do it over the weekend. So while they were in their room, one of the master security keys was used, and those two individuals came into their office and continued to pursue them while they were trying to get the program ready. So it was based on that they decided that, look, this is not a good place to do the program. It is unsafe. Eutrice Lee has raised the level of hostility. Her physical actions will probably lead to other people feeling that they can get physical too. So they wound up finding a place where they could produce a program that had all of the necessary equipment to produce it. And it seems that Pacifica, Stephen Yasko, who's the national program director, was attempting to try and get them to go back to the station. And much to Amy's credit, she refused to go back until there was some guarantee that the level of hostility would cease and that, you know, they would be able to come in and produce the program without fear of bodily or psychological or emotional harm.
No, okay. Noel and Bernard, I want to add something here. As workers, we have the obligation to be in solidarity with our fellow workers and producers in this network when they are physically threatened, when they're accosted and assaulted, and we should not have them work under those circumstances. And as a matter of fact, none of us should continue to work for Pacifica until Pacifica do something to change these conditions. We have to resist, and Democracy Now! Crew must resist. And Dennis, what KPFA is doing in an act of solidarity with carrying the program from exile, it needs to continue to do that. And one of the things that we're doing in New York is we have a web broadcast and WBIX.org that we will carry Democracy Now! And any other Pacifica program that has been put off the air as an act of defiance and resistance. But as a union shop steward, I think it's only right that those of us in the union movement who have a conscience, if Amy will not go in that workplace, we should not go in that workplace, and we should honor that, and we should tell Pacifica management that they should stop raising funds fraudulently and that they should stop taking listeners' money when they have no intention of honoring the mission of Pacifica.
Well, Errol, I think you are right on the mark. This is Dennis Bernstein. That was the voice of Errol Maitland. And I will tell you, as a worker at KPFA who's already been pushed around by some of these managers, dragged out, arrested, and sort of semi-fired and then rehired, I have to say that this shop is supposedly supposed to go into negotiations with Bessie Wash and that high-paid, as far as I'm concerned, strikebreaker named Larry Japkin, who's been in there in New York enforcing some of these rules along with Steve Yasko. And I say, as a worker here at KPFA, that Bessie Wash is no longer legitimate, that dealing with Japkin, penny-pinching us while they're spending tens of thousands of dollars on these expensive security systems has to end. We must resist together as a network. I want to thank you, Bernard White. We need to open up the line because we're going to bring Robert Knight in right now and Leslie Kagan. Robert Knight is one of the banned and the fired from WBAI in New York, and he's been studying the security system, how it works, and how it treats the people that try and come and go at WBAI. Robert, are you with us?
Indeed I am, Dennis.
Robert, would you talk a little bit about that system?
Well, it is a $20,000 to $50,000 system installed by the company ADT. When they first came to the premises to measure and get the floor layout, they asked for Robert Daughtry, who is the operations staff member at WPFW, which, of course, is the station that Bessie Wash managed before becoming executive director. They installed at least seven cameras that are located at places unnecessary to maintain the perimeter of WBAI. They're 360-degree or 180 steradians, little domes on the roof, on the ceiling, that monitor or are able to monitor every motion of every person in the station at every moment. The use of the surveillance system, the recordings of the video that is made, the disposition of that is unknown, whether it would ever end up in the hands of police or other governmental investigators is not guaranteed. But that's only part of the surveillance and repression, Dennis. For shows that are not signed, sealed, and delivered with loyalty, personal loyalty to Utrecht Lead, the operations of the station have been taken over such that people who used to engineer their own programs are often not permitted to do so, and only loyalist engineers do the engineering. And those few cases where they don't, the producer is often barged in on with people doing walkthroughs at informationally critical moments. Air checks are made of programs that are of questionable loyalty to Utrecht Lead, and they are reviewed, and even just the intimidation of making it clearly known that an air check is being made has a chilling effect. Other forms of surveillance include this. In the newsroom, on multiple occasions, loyalist security staff members of Utrecht Lead have actually poured through the newsroom computer. That is, they have, during off hours, gone in the newsroom, started up the computer, and gone fishing for files and evidence. They have stolen emails from members of the newsroom staff, myself being one of them, and I have records and documentation of that. Another newsroom reporter also had her email taken by one of two staff members, Paul Williams or Habte Selassie. In fact, as recently as yesterday, when newsroom staff came in, they found that the computer had been turned on by the same security staff, Paul Williams, and they found the browser open to my private mailbox. So the level of intimidation continues. The magnetic time cards provide a time and motion tracking system, which allows Utrice Lead to create a behavioral database of the staff. Now, with Ken Ford and the National Board cooperating with the FBI, and Utrice Lead cooperating with the intelligence unit of the New York Police Department, there is an extraordinary chilling effect, Dennis.
Now, you're listening to the voice of Robert Knight, and you're listening to a special broadcast on Democracy Now! Obviously, Democracy Now! Is not being aired in this time slot. Dennis Bernstein and Noel Hanrahan from Flashpoints are bringing this to you. We're the only station in the network that is bringing this. Pacifica National has probably fed alternative Democracy Now! Broadcasts to the other stations. And I'd like to bring in right now Leslie Kagan, a national board member from New York City, who is a dissident board member. And Leslie, what are you doing in response to the situation about Democracy Now? We're trying to get Leslie Kagan on the line. Leslie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Okay, Leslie.
Hi.
Leslie, did you hear that last question?
Yes, I did. Well, there's what I'm doing and there's what we're doing. I was out at the station early this morning along with, you know, scores of other people. Someone earlier on the show might have already discussed this, demonstrating and protesting the this horrendous situation. I and the other dissident board members have been, actually, we have been raising the crisis. We think that there's been a crisis around Democracy Now! In terms of the way the staff of Democracy Now!, not just Amy, but the whole staff of Democracy Now! Has been treated by the national staff and by the national board, at least since last August, when the press passes were pulled for the Democracy Now! Staff to the Democratic Convention in Los Angeles. So since then, we have been raising at board meetings, through emails, through phone calls, the need for the national board to fully accept its responsibilities, to step in, to intervene, to inject ourselves into this situation, and more specifically, to direct Bessie Wash to take the actions that are necessary to put things right at WBAI. And specifically, that means in this case that the safety of Amy Goodman, of the other staff at Democracy Now!, and indeed for everybody at that station, that the physical safety of people has to be secured, and that you don't do that by security cameras. That's not how you do it. You do it by making sure that other staff people and management people are not calling people's names, not shouting at people, are not physically making it hard for people to do their work. That Democracy Now! Has to be returned to the main studio at BAI. Of course, if there are other studios that are not up to grade, they should all be upgraded as well, so anybody could work out of any studio, but that's the point. And that's the first step toward resolving things at BAI. Beyond that, Utrice Lead has got to be informed that she can't function this way anymore, that all of the fired and banned have to be returned immediately and unconditionally. All the fired and banned have to be returned to that station. And to be honest, I've lost track. I don't know now if we're at 24 or 25 or 26.
We're at 24, Leslie. And by the way, I do have a related issue to bring up about the mandatory meeting that Utrice ordered me to take part in today when we have a moment.
Why don't you just jump in right there, Robert?
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Sure. When I arrived from Texas to report on racial discrimination in Tulia, I, of course, was given a memorandum saying that I may not be on the air and that I was suspended without pay until August 15th when I was to have a mandatory meeting with the news director. I went in at the appointed time. Neither the news director, Jose Santiago, nor the station manager, Utrice Lead, were there for that meeting that she ordered. I did leave a memorandum, and may I share parts of it?
Very quickly, because we want to get to phone calls. Let me just tell listeners, Leslie, I want to thank you very much. We're going to be talking more with you about this We want to ask Dan and Errol to stay by because they're on the ISDN line. Robert, I want to ask you to very quickly give us a few excerpts. Then we're going to open up the lines, 510-848-4425, to get a few phone calls in here so that we can talk to listeners and give them some phone numbers about how they can participate. So please quickly finish up, Robert.
Well, to finish up quickly, in explicit contradiction to her memorandum ordering that meeting, she issued a banning order, and that means that she's demanded a meeting while sequestering me from the evidence for such a meeting, indicating that no fairness was intended to be the result of this meeting. My possessions are now under the same risk as those of Bernard White. I have inform them that the proposed meeting can take place on the station premises, neither at this time nor without my access to relevant materials and property. And I welcome a meeting, but it shall be in the offices of my legal team or possibly the new quarters of Democracy Now, but not under these conditions and with these exclusions under the radio station of Utrecht lead called WBAI.
And we have
Robert and you know, Noel and Dennis, I got to say, WBAI is still a union shop. And technically, I'm telling 404 and all the other unions out there that workers should not be subject to disciplinary action or meeting with management without the union being there to protect their interests. Whether or not they are members of the union, it is a union shop, and they're entitled to protection, and we still have some rights.
All right, stay right there, Errol. Robert, we thank you for joining us. We'll be back to you to find out more about what's going on there. We thank you, Leslie Kagan. We want to open up the phone lines here. This is Janice Bernstein with Noel Hanrahan. This is a special on Democracy Now!, which was not produced today. They say, the staff there say, because of extreme harassment. The phone number here is 510-848-4425. 510-848-4425. And KPFA, you're on the air with Dennis Bernstein and Noel Hanrahan.
Good morning. It would seem that this has progressed to the point now where injunctive or other legal relief could be sought against an unsafe workplace. What kind of maneuver or what kind of strategy could we mount to press for that?
I know that Amy Goodman is meeting with her lawyers, and that is one strategy they're considering, and that is being used full bore. We'd like to go to another phone line, get in as many voices as we can. KPFA, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah, hi. I just wanted to put in that I had been in New York about a month ago. I went up to WBAI. I'm calling from Oakland. My name is Wendy. And I just want to say, just to see the situation, they actually did let me in. They tried to convince me of the rightness of their situation. And I couldn't believe the attacks. They had everybody come over to me to talk about it. And it's really, I wish they did something at the time. I guess I felt overwhelmed. But they told me how to, you know, you think that Amy Goodman's nice. She's a bitch, let me tell you. Excuse the word, I'm sorry very much. But someone did use that word, and she said, you don't know her. And I listened to that, and I actually left, but I felt really disturbed and very disempowered. But I feel like I want to do something now, and whatever we can do to deal with this.
You know, the listeners really brought us back into our station, and the only thing that's going to save this network, much less save WBAI, and get Democracy Now!, our lifeline to each other back on the air, is listener action.
And now, streets. And it is that way across the country, Dennis. I just came back from I'm on a national tour, and the only thing Pacifica has going for it right now is Democracy Now!, and people out there want Democracy Now!. They need to have a means of organizing and reaching out, and I think they need to call the Pacifica campaign.
And that's exactly, they need to call the campaign. They also need to call people like Bessie Wash. Let her know. Her number is 202-588-0999, extension 348. That's 202-588-0999. You might want to give her a call.
The Pacifica campaign number is 800-797-6229. That's 800-797-6229. And the website is pacificacampaign.org.
Yeah, and I'd like to actually...
The affiliates want to have Democracy Now. And I'm encouraging the affiliates to tune into WBIX.org and to organize and put pressure on Pacifica.
All right, we need to bring in some more calls.
Outside of
we
the
need
Pacifica
to bring in
area.
Errol, thank you. We need to bring in some more calls.
So thank you, Wendy,
audience.
For your call. The next caller on the line, you're calling KPFA. You're on the air.
I'd like to remind the listeners that last Wednesday, Amy had on Robert Fisk, who reports for The Independent, a British newspaper from Jerusalem, and Amy was putting out how The Independent newspaper was now capitulating to the Israeli government and insisting on the kind of language that was going to be used for that colonial war that Israel has against Palestine.
And, of course, that's the reason why this station is so important. Even, and I have to admit that even the news department here is reading the wire copy from AP and Reuters that has now obviously been influenced. So now they refer to Jewish neighborhoods instead of illegal occupied settlements that are military fronts for the Israeli military. So this is the reason why independent radio and independent media is crucial at this time. We're going to go to another phone call here on KPFA. You're on the air.
And also, just to let people know, this network of five stations reaches 1 million people. And the people who are really trying to take down this network are Democratic Party hacks. And so we really need to understand that they're trying to silence the breadth of this network. It's the last independent radio network in the country. Next caller.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. It just occurs to me that when somebody pushes you, that's assault. And when somebody takes your camera, that's theft. And if there are any witnesses to this, and I assume there were, besides Amy, one can make a citizen's arrest. You call in a cop, you say, I want that person arrested, and they do it.
Well, I'm sure they're going to try that as well. I'm not sure the New York police are actually on the side of the Democracy Now! Folks, but next caller, you're on the air.
You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I think it would be good for our money to be going to an alternate location other than Pacifica.
Absolutely. I think many people on the staff feel that way as well. There comes a time when we really need to change this network by any means necessary that we have in our control. That means active fighting on the air,
would
talking
you
about
lawsuits. Information, please? Would you give the information?
All right. You can go to the Pacifica campaign. And that is, Errol, what is that?
It's 1-800-797-6229. You can go to savepacifica.net. I know the Vanguard Foundation in San Francisco on Rhode Island Street is the conduit for the lawsuits. They're raising money for all of the lawsuits. I know the Pacifica campaign.
The way you do that is through Friends of Free Speech Radio, and that's at 548-0542. Let's get another phone caller on the air with us. KPFA, you're on the air.
Good morning. My name's John. I'm from Berkeley. Speaking as a member of the Green Party, I would like to say to all the listeners out there that this crisis occurred during a Democratic administration under a Democratic president.
After Amy did an interview with that Democratic president.
Exactly.
At which the powers that be at the national level apparently didn't like very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, even before this, with the crisis at KPFA, it occurred under a Democratic administration. So to anybody who thinks about supporting the Democratic Party, I would like to put to them, think about these actions and then think about supporting the Democratic Party.
Right. We're going to try and get another couple calls in. You're listening to a special broadcast of Democracy Now! Last call, you're on the air at KPFA.
It seems to me that new security system they installed at WBAI should be subpoenaed so we can see exactly what went on with Amy and Utrecht Lee.
Great idea. We're going to have to leave it right there. You have been listening to a special about Democracy Now!, Democracy Now! Under Siege. The staff there feels now so threatened that they can no longer go into the station at WBAI. They're supposedly in negotiations with, I guess, people local there to figure out if they can create a safe working environment that they can continue to work in. We want to thank very much Dan Coughlin, Errol Maitland, Juan Gonzalez, Bernard White, Robert Knight, Leslie Kagan, and we want to thank Jim Bennett, also Denise Wilkerson, Lisa Rothman earlier, and Noel Hanrahan.
And Amy Goodman.
And I'm Dennis Bernstein with Noel Hanrahan. Stay tuned for further details. We got to get out of here. Thanks for listening.
And we'll all bring back Democracy Now!